Hi, listeners. It's Tucker Ligursky. As a researcher on Masters of Scale, I use the innovations of AI on a daily basis. And with an increasingly overcrowded market, it's hard to discern which ones are truly beneficial for my work, not to mention safe. That's where Grammarly comes in. My job requires me to prepare dozens of documents every day. And with Grammarly, I'm able to make my dossiers and research documents clear, more direct, and more concise. In fact, I recently discovered that Grammarly users spend 66% less time editing content, which is a huge advantage since our most precious resource is undoubtedly time. What I love about Grammarly is its commitment to responsible AI. My team works tirelessly to produce top-quality podcasts, and it's vital that we keep our data secure. Grammarly has been around for 14 years and has maintained a business model dedicated to never selling your data, which means you can trust it with your most sensitive information. Join me and over 70,000 teams who trust Grammarly to work faster and hit their goals while keeping their data secure. Visit Grammarly.com to learn more. That's Grammarly.com.
Hi, listeners. It's Aaron Bastinelli, an audio engineer here at Wait What. As you know, behind every successful business is a story. On the podcast How I Built This, host Guy Raz talks to the founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt, failures, and how they were able to overcome setbacks on their way to the top. How I Built This is a masterclass in innovation and creativity, a how-to guide for navigating life's challenges from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This wherever you get your podcasts. Listen early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
During the day, we have the sirens, but everyone in Ukraine trying to work now. Yeah, we take our laptops, we go to bomb shelters, but okay, we still work. Ukrainian managers, they will be like the best risk managers in the world. We try to be positive because when they see that we have like positive attitude, it's more easier for others like do their job every day. I worry, but this feeling will not help me. So I understand that, okay, I can be worried several minutes, but after that, okay, let's do our job. The whole country work now like startups. So we don't wait for someone who will tell us what should be done. Everyone today can support Ukraine, not only by donating, but also buying Ukrainian products. And I think that it will be my main message.
That's Ilona Misko, an entrepreneur based in Ukraine who runs a B2B startup called Fuel Finance. She's leading a team that's navigating bomb sirens every day while trying to make her business a model for her country. I'm Bob Safian, former editor of Fast Company, founder of the Flux Group, and host of Masters of Scale Rapid Response. I wanted to talk with Ilona because doing business in a war presents obstacle after obstacle with emotional, financial, and management challenges. Her audio is a little scratchier than usual for Masters of Scale, but we wanted to get her story to you as quickly as possible. She embodies how a startup spirit is surging through Ukraine and how important business impacts are for individual Ukrainians and the country overall. Her experience offers lessons for any leader about communication, mission, collaboration, and creativity. She appreciates the support that her team has received from others, and she champions the support they provide each other. And she demonstrates how talent anywhere in the world can contribute in building for the future, even in the most perilous of circumstances. I'm Bob Safian, and I'm here with Ilona Misko, founder and CEO of Fuel Finance. Ilona is coming to us from Ivano-Frankivsk in Ukraine, as I ask my questions from my home in New York. Ilona, thanks for joining us. This is the first interview we've done from Ukraine.
And the first mine also.
Well, it's nice to be able to talk to you. So I just want to start by just asking, like, how are things going? For folks here, it sure seems like things are intensely stressful over there.
yeah, Yeah, we have already like jokes between entrepreneurs that Ukrainian managers, they will be like the best stressful managers and risk managers in the world because during last month here, it's really a challenge for us, challenge in managing business during the war, challenging in management of the team and also in volunteering and help our country. So I think we feel like fighters now. Sometimes we are really upset, especially I see what is going on with my people in my country. I'm not very happy as I'm usual, not as positive attitude, but mostly we try to fight and do our best because, okay, in the morning, like worried news, but after that, you should do your work because when you will be crying, it's not the help that country needs now. Mm.
So you are now near Lviv, you said.
Yes.
Is that where you were when the war first started?
No. I usually live in Kyiv. Kyiv is my native city. So I was in the first day of the war there. And I decided on the second day, I decided to relocate in Western Ukraine.
Yeah. Were you surprised that the war started? I mean, I know there was lots of discussion and some people are expecting it.
Oh, you know, it was very strange feelings that all Ukrainians had during the months before this war. It was a very strange situation because on the one day we decided that we should be prepared and we decided to discuss with our team members how you can prepare everything about, okay, where you will relocate in case the war will start. We also started to analyze, okay, what we have with our financial plan and how we should manage the business. So what risks we have and everything. We felt this stress, we felt this pressure. So yeah, it was not easy.
We had a guest on recently who talked about people in Kyiv working in shelters with their laptops looking for Wi-Fi.
Yeah, we like still work like this. During the day, we have the sirens, so we need to go to bomb shelters. But everyone in Ukraine trying to work now. And yes, people work in bomb shelters. And we are happy that in most bomb shelters, we have Wi-Fi, so we can work. So it's like a little bit like normal life now. Because yeah, we take our laptops, we go to bomb shelters, but okay, we still work. And the most craziest day when we decided to go to Product Hunt, because when we decided to launch something, especially on this day, we will have most number of sirens during the day. So usually it was like two or three before, but on this day we had 7 times per day the sirens. So we should go to bomb shelter every time. So it was really crazy.
Was it scary? You're smiling. It's almost like it's now looking back, like it was an adventure. I guess it's an adventure if you're okay, but it sounds a little scary.
During the first 2 weeks, we were scary, but I think on the third week already, we understand, okay, what is going on? And after that, you try to live your life with new reality. We try to smile, we try to be positive because, first of all, I have the team and the team should understand that with me, everything is okay and I'm manage this business. And when they see that we have like positive attitude and all executive team has positive attitude, it's more easier for others like do their job every day. Yeah, we like should work in bomb shelters, but to be honest, in Western Ukraine, we are not in that situation. You saw these photos near Kyiv and in, for example, Eastern Ukraine. In Eastern Ukraine, they don't think about work. We have like much worse situation there.
Mm. Do you have colleagues who are in the East or has everyone moved to the West?
We have one developer, one engineer there. He was in Kharkiv, but I think on the second week, he decided to go to Dnipro. It's another city in Eastern Ukraine, but more safe situation. In Kharkiv, he was near all these bombs. And so it was a very, very bad situation there. But now we have 90% of our team here in Western Ukraine. So everything is better. Mm.
Now, your business is, if I understand it right, it's a startup that helps other startups with their financing tools and support for them so that they can focus their energies on their areas of expertise and you take care of the finance part of it. Have I got that right?
Yeah, we take care of finance for all startups. So no headache, no more hundreds of different Excel docs. We like digital financial department for all startups and combine software and financial managers to do it.
I was looking on your website and your clients include an app developer in Kyiv, a construction company in Kyiv, a product company that's got engineers and designers in Kyiv. How are your clients doing? And how do you deal with billing and collecting and all that when the economy is disrupted so much?
When the war started, we had like half of our clients Ukrainian companies, but another half of our clients are US-based companies. So Ukrainian companies, some of them, they still work, but some Ukrainian companies stopped. But we believe that our mission in our company, even in such hard times, we should help other businesses to stay strong. So we did much work when the war started. We helped our Ukrainian clients. They have questions, okay, what we should do with salaries? We don't have revenue now. What resources we have? What cash balances we have? So what really we should do? It was like challenging part for us. But also we created two projects that help Ukrainian business now. First project was like financial platform to match Ukrainian business and financial managers here in Ukraine. We have 80 financial managers and CFOs from Ukraine who now help Ukrainian businesses. Also, we'll provide all information that Ukrainian business need now in finance. Second one, we also created a volunteer project with other company, Lyft 99, where everyone from all over the world can donate to Ukrainian business who changed during the war. So for example, before the war, they made beautiful shoes, but after the war, they make military boots now. And we make this platform and everyone now can donate and help these companies because they don't generate revenues, but they help military forces and others during this war.
I looked at the site that you created with Lyft 99. Lyft 99 is like a co-working space in Kyiv, right? It's sort of where different startups come together. The website's very nice, sort of showing how these businesses have shifted from, as you say, being a shoe company to making combat boots or a restaurant that's preparing meals for soldiers. I'm curious, I've heard that the Ukrainian digital ministry led by Mykhailo Fedorov, that it's been sort of recruiting and encouraging digital businesses and influencers. Is that part of where this effort comes from, or is this something that you guys started on your own?
This is one that we started by our own with Lyft 99, but yeah, we have also here in Ukraine our IT army that really was created by our Minister of Digital Transformation, something awesome. We talk about 100,000 people in IT army. They communicate with all digital businesses. They communicate with Elon Musk. And we now have Starlink in Ukraine. It's something was impossible before the war. Starlink really helps us because I, for example, communicated with my friend who is in military forces. He wrote me, okay, I can really write you this message that I'm okay because now we have Starlink here. This support is simply unbelievable now for us. Mm.
In this period, is government making it easier for you and startups? Are you startups trying to make things easier for the government?
The whole country work now like startups. We have the government. The government do their best job. They communicate with other countries. They collect money for the military forces. On the other hand, we have another group with Ministry of the Digital Transformation. We have other group of entrepreneurs and startup founders. We have the situation when everyone do their best job, everyone helps each other. So we see what should be done. And the first who see what should be done, start do it. So we don't wait for someone who will tell us what should be done.
With the pandemic, with COVID-19, many businesses had to adjust quickly and keep adjusting as rules and conditions changed around us. Did that help prepare you and Ukraine for this time, or is it just completely different?
I think, first of all, it's completely different. So, for example, when it was COVID, you can be safe if you stay home. But now you couldn't be safe even being at your home. But I think, yes, that COVID has prepared us for this. Especially for me, it's the second crisis during 2.5 years of managing my business. So we started this business and already was like COVID in a year. So we had the situation with revenue decline, yes, like all businesses. And safety of team members and relocation of business, it was totally new. So this part was really unpredictable.
Mm. You mentioned you have clients that are in the United States.
Yeah.
Are those clients understanding of the conditions that you're working in Ukraine? Or do they just need you to do what you had always done before the war?
I think they are surprised because they received that result that always were expected from us without delays. So yeah, we like had this short stop in our work, but only during first several days. But after that, we continued our work. They were shocked. Also, we received much support from them. Some of them like wrote me, we can like make you additional payments for some next months now, but maybe you like need this additional money now. So some of them wrote, maybe you need some help with the relocate of your team. So really appreciate such support. But should say that we deliver results the same as it was before this war.
How many people are on the Fuel Finance team?
Now we have 23 team members and 2 co-founders.
And are all those folks in Ukraine?
Some of them already in Poland, but they're like 90% of our team in Western Ukraine.
We've had several episodes that talk about refugees. I always wonder, for those of you who stay, do you ever feel upset about the others that leave? That like they're sort of giving up?
I think that we have now such a situation that people that decided to go to other countries, they're more upset than people who stay here. Yeah, first of all, it's like these people needed to do it because we all have mothers, children to be in the safe place. But also we have already cases when our team members who were in Poland, now they decided to go back to Ukraine because in Western Ukraine, like safe situation, and they decided that they want to be now with their families and someone like in other countries. Every time when I have call, I feel happiness that this person is safe and everything is okay. I think I feel more happy than upset.
Hi, listeners. It's Masha Mokotonina, a producer on Masters of Scale. I spend a large part of my day carefully crafting emails, composing documents, and endlessly responding to messages. Which is why I am such a big fan of Grammarly, the secure AI writing partner I use on a daily basis. Whether it's reaching out to high-profile guests or coordinating logistics with the production team, I use Grammarly to adjust my writing to different audiences while maintaining the brand voice of Masters of Scale. Grammarly helps spot redundancies and clean up sentences that are unnecessarily wordy, verbose, long-winded, and repetitive. Like this one. Grammarly's AI prompts help guide my writing process, personalizing content based on context as well as making tone adjustments intuitively. It doesn't just help me generate more content, it helps me generate better content. Amazingly, Grammarly works seamlessly across my email, Slack, and over 500,000 apps and websites, so there is no cutting, pasting, or context switching needed. Join me and over 70,000 teams who trust Grammarly to work faster and hit their goals while keeping their data secure. Visit Grammarly.com to learn more. That's Grammarly.com.
Before the break, we heard Ukrainian entrepreneur Ilona Misko talk about serving clients and the startup community as the war began. Now she talks about managing her team at Fuel Finance and the importance of following a mission in a crisis. She also talks about why some Western businesses are more loved than ever, and she makes a plea to all our listeners to buy from Ukrainian businesses as a means of support. How do you think about managing your team in an environment like this?
Especially during the first, I think, 3-4 days, we were in Slack chat all 24 hours because we understand that we need to support each other now and I should support our team members. We had the first priority to relocate our team to more safe places. Now I see and understand that it was a very important part for our team members, this communication. On the first day of the war, we paid salaries to our team members, so they also like felt more safe. But also, I think that we have very strong mission in our company, so we have mission to help companies and save them from bankruptcies and financial mistakes. And we believe that what we do for these companies can impact on GDP growth in Ukraine and all over the world. So everyone in our team here, first of all, we have thoughts how to be safe, how to help our families and friends. But after that, everyone, they started to think, okay, but now we should help other businesses and our clients because it's our mission. We had many calls and we discussed, okay, someone couldn't work because someone had worse situation. More Syrians and managers said, okay, I will do your work because now you are not in the safe place. It's okay. I can do more now. Everyone in our team, they do their job, but after that, they do different volunteer projects. Someone, for example, helped deliver now from Poland to Ukraine, different stuff that military forces needs. So we have very strange situation. We had one-to-one talks with everyone in the team. How is it going? What help they need now from the company or from other team members? I think it's like family now.
And you haven't had any members of your team have family members or otherwise who've been hurt in the war, or to this point that has been okay?
We have one team member who decided to join military forces, and we received messages from him that now he like financial guy for military forces. So in one hand I have AK-47, in other hand I have my laptop. So it's very, very strange, but no one was hurt and I feel grateful for that. Everyone from our team, everyone is safe.
And for your business, you mentioned that some of the other businesses didn't have revenue. As the founder, as the CEO, how much do you worry about your own revenue and you having enough resources to be able to support your team?
Fuel Finance is a startup, but we were profitable before the war. So we are a financial team. So we are like understand how to manage finance. We have reserves to pay salaries. Well, now we are break even. We believe everything will be better with every month. But yeah, it doesn't mean that I'm not worrying. I worry, but this feeling will not help me. So I understand that, okay, I can be worried, but like several minutes. But after that, okay, let's do our job. So I think that everything is possible. We even made product hunt and we became the product of the day during the war and sitting in bomb shelters. So now I believe that we can do everything.
How did the product hunt opportunity come up?
We like started to make our product 2 years ago. We made market research. We tried to understand what founders think about finance. So we had traction and we have a strategic session 1 week before the war. So we had a plan, very detailed, to launch website. It was planned on the first day of the war. After that, our plan was we should go to Product Hunt because we updated our website, we updated information, and we made very cool video explaining about what we do in fuel finance. We had this decision, okay, we should go to Product Hunt and test our idea, receive feedbacks from this community. Product Hunt opportunity gave us many leads, more than 50 leads we received during one day. It was like boom.
You mentioned that you listen to our podcast, which we appreciate.
Yeah.
You know, our podcast focuses often on Western businesses. And I'm curious how Ukrainian business people feel about how Western businesses have responded to the war, to the invasion.
I think that now Western businesses, we see much response. So we see how these businesses decided to go out from Russia and stop their business there. It's a valuable decision. And I see support for such businesses in Ukraine. We love these businesses even more after that. Yeah, we have here like lists of businesses who support us. And we also have lists of businesses who decided to stay in Russia. And we believe that such businesses, they really finance this war and they give money to Russia to make this war. So with such businesses, I see how people decided not to buy these products. We understand that business really make huge changes now, and every company can make this change. Mm.
Is there anything that you would say to all the people who are listening to this, who are business people, about maybe the things they should do, the things they shouldn't do?
We understand that all entrepreneurs are fighters. And I believe that every entrepreneur can understand that, okay, we can grow our business even in such stressful situation. Today, my friends, they made a platform named Spend with Ukraine. It is a platform where we have all lists of Ukrainian companies that make really cool products. And I think that everyone today can support Ukraine, not only by donating, but also buying Ukrainian products. And I think that it will be my main message to everyone, to every founder, that you can simply support us even buying our Ukrainian products.
And where is this list again, you said?
Yeah, it's the website named spendwithukraine.com. We have the list of all companies there in very different spheres, in fashion, in tech, in services, in entertainment. And I think everyone should understand that we all like donate our salaries and half of our profits and part of our revenues. We all donate to Ukrainian military forces, to other organizations which help Ukraine here. So it will be very helpful for us if everyone will buy Ukrainian products.
Well, I really appreciate you having this conversation with us. And I'm grateful that we haven't been interrupted by you having to run to the bomb shelter.
A fun fact, I will tell you that we had a strategic session in co-working, which has the name, I will translate this word, Ukrainian, перемога. It translated to English like victory. And we believe that it was not a coincidence. So we believe that, yes, we will have this victory in Ukraine.
Well, I wish that for you too. And thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you so much for this conversation. I was happy to share this experience.
Masters of Scale Rapid Response is a Wait What original. The show is recorded remotely using sanitized audio gear. I'm your Rapid Response host, Bob Safian. Host for Masters of Scale is Reid Hoffman. Our executive producers are June Cohen and Darren Triff. Our supervising producer is Jay Punjabi. Our producers are Jordan McLeod, Christina Gonzalez, and Marie McCoy Thompson. Our music director is Ryan Holiday. Original music and sound design by Daniel Nissenbaum and the Holiday Brothers. Audio editing by Keith J. Nelson, Stephen Davies, Andrew Nault, and Mike Gallagher. Mixing and mastering by Aaron Bastinelli. Special thanks to Emily McManus, Sarah Sandman, Kelsey Capitano, Tim Cronin, Charlie Meneses, Adam Heiner, Anna Pizzino, Ben Richardson, Mina Kurosawa, Saida Sapieva, and Colin Howard. Become a member of Masters of Scale to get access to a year's worth of courses and content on the Masters of Scale Courses app. Find out more at mastersofscale.com/membership. Visit mastersofscale.com/rapidresponse to find the transcript for this episode, and be sure to subscribe to our email newsletter.